Well, I guess just to get started, thank you so much for making some time to talk to me.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And thank you for being flexible with scheduling.
No problem. Well, the first question I always ask, whether it's a school board or a city council, is just asking everyone to just tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and also kind of in that question as well, why you want to run for school board.
Absolutely. So, as I said, my name is Dr. Melissa Bedford, and I am running for the school board to bring an educator's voice to the room where it happens and help Spokane move forward as we re-enter schools and reevaluate education. So, a little bit about me. I am a proud Chinese Filipino American, a former public school teacher and current teacher educator. As an elementary teacher, I taught at low-income Title I schools with students from many diverse backgrounds. And I was not only honored to teach these students, but to be welcomed into their families. I actually just this week had the opportunity to be invited to some of my last kiddos that I taught to their high school graduation, which was just amazing to see them grow up over the, decade that I've known them. And so while I was teaching, I graduated with my doctorate in education and conducted my dissertation study on the use of Lego robotics to support the language development of literacy and language learners. So, students who are English language learners to help them with their literacy and language development. And so it was a really fun project. And now I'm an assistant professor in education teaching future teachers. So I think it's pretty safe to say that education is in my blood. Education is who I am. And so that's a big thing of why I'm running for the school board. And I think really importantly, one of the things about my voice getting to that table, I think it'll be a valuable addition. Because after a year of distance learning in a pandemic, we've seen that online learning does work for some students, but not all students. So we need to look at how, what kind of education, what are we offering students and families for these educational environments? And then we also identified a need that we really need to address access to education, because we know that broadband was a big thing. And I know I not only heard about this from some of my teacher friends who are in P12 classrooms, but myself as a higher ed educator and assistant professor, I dealt with that as well with my students. And then the big one for me too that I'm very passionate about is we really need to take action on ensuring and promoting equity and inclusion in our schools. Because now's really the time, I believe, now's the time we reflect on how we can change education so it's equitable, accessible, and inclusive for all our students. So I want to bring my passion for education to the school board and really help make this a welcoming and inclusive environment for our students and their families, as well as making sure we support our teachers, because I've been where they're at and I want to make sure their voice is heard as well.
Well, I do have a couple follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, could you say again what exactly your doctorate is in and where you're a
Oh,
professor?
yes. So my doctorate is in education with an emphasis in literacy studies, and I am an assistant professor in literacy at Eastern Washington University.
And when you taught schools, did you ever teach at a Spokane public school?
When I taught P12, I did not teach in Spokane Public. I taught in Northern Nevada in the Washoe County School District.
And then I was like, I think that was all my follow-up sort of background questions. Oh, I've been trying to ask candidates. You said you have, friends who are Spokane Public School teachers. Did you attend a Spokane Public School, or do you have children who have attended or who do?
I do not. I did not attend Spokane Public Schools, and I currently do not have any children. Hopefully, one day that will be entering Spokane Public Schools. But I am very proud to say that my very first group of teachers that I taught when I moved up to Spokane to start my career in higher ed, they have gone out and they're getting hired into District 81, and they've been sending me messages, sharing that news, and it's been very exciting. So I like to think like my next generation, of teachers are now going to be entering Spokane Public. So I really am very excited to see all that they do and, bring to the school district. So.
Well, you did bring up something that I really wanted to focus on with every candidate is I really think that equity, and I believe the current school board also believes this, is really the next challenge going forward for future Spokane Public School Board members. And so, they did pass a resolution to that effect, and it has some different areas like looking at everything with an equity, excuse me, lens, and a focus on cultural competence training. Do you agree with that resolution, or was there maybe some gaps there? And maybe going forward, if there is gaps or there isn't, what's the best way to look at and practice, actually live out equity in the school system?
First, I absolutely support and am very excited that, the equity resolution was passed. And I think it's a great and important step to, as I said, make sure our schools are welcoming and inclusive to all our students and families, because it's not just about the students, right? It's about their families and the community as well. And so with the resolution, I don't think there's any I'm blanking on the word that you just said. Sorry.
Or gaps.
Thank you. I don't think there's any gaps in it. I think there are ways that we can enhance it even further. So one of the things that relates to the cultural competencies, oh, that word is hard, with a staff training is there was a program I did as a classroom teacher, and if I'm fortunate enough to be elected as a school board director, I would love to see something like this come to District 81 in Spokane. We did this home visit program. So often as teachers and administrators and just school in general, parents and families are invited in. Sometimes it's the school carnival or talent show. You have the school events where they're invited in. And then other times it's parent-teacher conferences, which seem pretty standard. And then if it's not one of those situations, it's parents or families are invited in because their child got in trouble or something happened, right? And then we need to invite the families in. Where with this program, this home visit program, it was actually bringing out staff and teachers and administrators from the schools into the community. So we would go and we would visit families at their home. If they weren't comfortable with us, going into their home, we would find a community-based location. Maybe it was the park down the street or a coffee shop or something. But we would go to them and enter their community. And we would talk about things other than just academics. It wasn't always, oh, this is how your student's doing in school. It'd be like, hey, tell me about your family. And it was just so wonderful. I remember I did this when I was teaching third grade. And I would go to their homes, and then the kids are, I'd have my students, they'd be like, oh, Miss Bedford, can you come see my room? Oh, I want to show you my favorite toy, and this is my baby sister, and I help take care of her. And so, really building those relationships. And I feel that is so important to strengthen our community because there's actually research that shows the more support students and families feel, the more successful, however you want to define success, though, the more successful these students will be. And so I think I would love to see something like that brought to Spokane, where it's not just inviting the families in, but schools are making the effort to go to them as well.
And then you also, technology, I think broadband is a gap that was really laid pretty bare this year for a lot of families. And that gap is going to continue into next year because it is true that students, it's really helpful for them to have internet access to be able to do their homework during normal times. And it's apparent that a lot of students don't have access to that. And so, is there any, methods of maybe partnerships or just investment or something else going forward after the pandemic that you would look to do as a school board member to really address those gaps in access and support?
I think two things that I would do. One would be using my voice as a school board director to advocate in Olympia, really fight for broadband in rural areas and just making sure throughout the state that we are getting the access to internet and high speed internet, right? Just not like dial up sometimes. I feel like sometimes it ran at dial up speed to age myself a little bit. So using my voice to advocate at the state level that we need more broadband, we need more access to technology. Oh my goodness. The other one would be helping build more partnerships with organizations and community locations that can provide internet access to students. I know a lot of schools were purchasing iPads and laptops and checking those out to families, which I think is all great and very helpful. But we also need to make sure we're providing opportunities to learn how to use it for one, because sometimes, I mean, the learning curves. I remember when I was teaching, I always had one of my classroom jobs was what I called Geek Squad, because I had some students who loved computers and I'd always ask them for help because they'd end up knowing more about the computer than I did. So that was always kind of funny. But making sure we're helping students and families learn how to utilize the technology and providing them locations that are safe, of course, especially with the pandemic, but those community-based locations that are accessible to them, whether it's a bus ride or a walk down the street to the local library or a community center. I think we need more of that, and I would make sure to use my voice and advocate for that and help establish those partnerships between the school district and our local community.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, another question, which I know some candidates don't want to, you know, dive into this one, but the school board had a pretty big decision come up for a second time this year. And, you know, several of those, you know, candidates that made that decision are not running for re-election, you know, about a partnership, you know, corporate slash, you know, other government agency type of thing, partnership to move the downtown stadium or move the stadium downtown, excuse me. And so I think that just that decision kind of had some criticisms on both sides, where I know there were some people who were really, you know, it should have been at Joe Albee, and I'm really concerned about this, our school board, you know, allow basically subsidizing downtown. And then there, you know, are other people who are like, well, this decision moves all the boats up and, you know, provides more opportunities for everyone. And so I just wanted to see if, you know, that was where kind of you were at on that, and going forward with sort of partnerships like this, you know, this, the school board has to every other year or so ask, you know, the community for money. If that's something that you're comfortable with, or is maybe a good idea going forward.
So I definitely followed the downtown stadium discussions. I sat in on and listened on a few of those school board meetings, and I know it was tough. And I actually, you know, as we've been getting back into the community and attending community-based events, I've had the chance to chat with community members, parents, families, elected officials throughout the community about issues like the downtown stadium. And I found, you know, a few of the things that I've heard is there are people who felt like the advisory vote that happened, you know, those some years ago, they felt like that kind of went out the wayside. And I can see that frustration. I can see that it is tough to feel like you contributed to something, but then what you contributed isn't really being taken into consideration. So I would want to make sure to honor and really connect with the community, you know, if should I be elected and face decisions like this as well. I've also talked with people, especially from neighborhoods where, you know, they're more urban, closer to downtown, that this downtown stadium, they feel is a really positive thing. And we will be able to have more access and provide a space, a brand new space too, for students and families to come and do sporting events. So there's a lot of excitement around it. So at this point, you know, I know you asked what's next after this. You know, I'm more focused on like, what's the right now? And I'm intrigued to see what happens from this. You know, just within the last, I want to say 24 to 48 hours, they announced the Women's Soccer League coming. So I think there is a lot of positive. And if I am elected as director, I would want to make sure, one, that the school district is able to hold on to their agency over the downtown stadium, because that's a big thing, obviously. But really seeing where we can go from this, because change can be scary. We know this, especially like a pandemic when we had to change really fast. We knew that was scary. So seeing what happens moving forward and what this can bring to Spokane and how our community, you know, reacts to it and where we go from here. So really, I'm just looking at the right now to see where we go from here. And I'm intrigued, and we'll continue to listen to the community and their insights. So.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that was a lot of just the pre-prepared sort of ideas I wanted to discuss with you. But I also like to take a, you know, a minute or two after every sort of list of questions, if there's any issues that are really like close to your heart or are just sort of like, this is a big deal for me, and I'd want to work on this if I did get elected to school board, that I didn't ask about or you didn't bring up before.
You know, I would just say the biggest thing is, you know, as I mentioned when I was talking about my background, I'm an educator. I love teaching. I love working with young students. I love working with future teachers. And I really just want to bring my passion for education and my experiences to the school board to help Spokane as we look at education and see how we are going to reevaluate and change things so we can really make things more equitable and inclusive for all of our students. And, you know, there's some controversy on terms. You know, we hear a lot about critical race theory and equity. And a lot of these what turn into buzzwords, and you know, I look at them as not just buzzwords. I don't want people to think I'm just saying these because that's what you say. These are things I truly believe in. And you know, as a teacher educator, one of the things that I promote in my classroom is, or what I promote to my future teachers that I hope they take to their classrooms, are culturally responsive teaching practices, which are really just best practices in looking at how we support all of our students and their backgrounds and their individual stories and the individual stories of their families. And just making sure, really, that I always feel school should be a safe place for students. You know, when I was teaching, there were times that it was tough. I taught at a Title I school, which, for those that might not be familiar with that, it means that it is a school where they require federal funding due to the socioeconomic status of the families. And so I worked with a lot of families where parents had two jobs. They worked at nights. And when I was teaching sixth grade, a lot of my students were the ones that took care of their younger siblings. And school was sometimes the safest place for them to be, and the place where they made sure that they got food. Like, we knew they would get food at school because of free and reduced lunch. So making sure we are creating these environments for our students and our families, I think, is so important. And that's just something, you know, I want to share with voters and hope that speaks to them and they'll support me, because I really just want to bring my passion to education. And I also want to support my fellow teachers, because they have been through a tough year. And you know, we always talk about our essential workers, and teachers are one of them. It's been a tough road for them, and I want to make sure that they feel supported, they're getting the resources that they need to support their students, to support themselves. Yeah, that's my biggest thing, is just making sure we're supporting our community and really making our schools a safe and welcoming place for all of our families.
Well, I think that was most of the questions that I had. Thank you so much for making some time to talk to me.
Yeah, definitely.